Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here now with today's midday interview. It is my great pleasure to have Celia Rivenbark in the studio today. She will be our guest at WHQR Monday evening at 7 o'clock in the MC Ernie Gallery. We're at 254 North Front Street. She'll be here for prologue because she has another book that's just come out called You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl, Observations on Life from the Shallow End of the Pool. Hi, Celia. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jamila.
Now, first of all, I have to ask you, where do you come up with your titles? Because they are so wonderful. Do you
Thank
have a
you.
Committee that helps, or
Thank
are
you.
Those just part of what inspires you?
It's funny. This particular one, You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl, came from an Andy Griffith episode, a very old one in which Andy was counseling Goober on nice things to say to women so he could have a nice date, you know. He said, Goober, they like sweet nothings whispered in their ear. And Goober was a little thick, as always. And he said, well, let me think about that. And then he said, I know. You mean like you don't sweat much for a fat girl? And Andy was like, no, that's not what I meant at all.
Oh, my God. That's great. That's great. And then the subtitle is Observations on Life from the Shallow End of the Pool, which is also really wonderful.
Yeah, my editor added that. And I was like, are you calling me shallow? And she just kind of didn't really answer. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
Great. Well, one of the things I love about the book is that not only are there laugh out loud stories in there, but they are kind where you want to follow somebody around and read them aloud.
Aww.
Now, talk to us, Celia, about how writing for a best-selling book now is different from writing for your weekly newspaper column.
And the biggest difference is that I think of the books as sort of me unplugged. The biggest difference is I'm able to actually write the way I talk. Any of my friends, when they pick up this book, they say, oh, yeah, I can hear that. You know, the profanity is there. And I hate to say that, you know, it's not like I'm incredibly profane, but you can't do that in a family newspaper, and you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the humor is a little bit wackier, a little more profane, and definitely a lot more my true self.
Mm-hmm. You can also write longer pieces than a newspaper column.
Absolutely. I'm constricted. I have 450 words once a week. And I'm sorry, it went up. 515 words. Yes, that's right. And it's not very much, you know, but it has taught me a lot about discipline. It's the same when I joined Twitter. I have learned to actually communicate a thought in 140 characters. At first, I was like, what's the big deal? Because I thought it was 140 words.
Oh.
But it's 140 characters.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? So, yeah. But it teaches me to be pretty disciplined.
Is storytelling a tradition in your family? I know hypochondria is.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of those are big traditions in my family. I come from a rural family in Duplin County. My dad, and he had many brothers, and there was lots of storytelling, literally around the Cracker Barrel in the country store. I can remember, as a young girl, riding my bicycle up to McMillan's store and just sitting and listening. And I treasure that, you know. And I would have the Coca-Cola with the peanuts in it and a wedge of the hog cheese. And I would sit there and listen and soak it all in. And I just loved that.
Mm. And in your family, there were tellers as well, people that just would tell things about what happened when they were growing up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My dad was a great joke teller. He passed away 4 years ago. And he was one who would hold on to a joke, and he might share it 50 times, but his delivery was flawless.
That's great. Now, talk about being, we have to hit this really hard now, a New York Times best-selling author.
Oh, now, Jamila, what makes you think that? Because I sign my checks that way? Would that be one way? I literally now, I tell people, I'm so annoying about it. But I was like, I've tried for 11 years and finally hit the list.
Mm.
And truth be told, I didn't stay on it for a very long time. But that's okay. It's like, you know, what do you call the guy who has the lowest grades in medical school? You call him doctor. So I will always be forevermore a New York Times best-selling author, no matter what.
Which book put you on the list?
This one. Sure did.
How about
It was on the list in September. It came out August 15th, and it hit the list in September, and I was ecstatic. I think I'm surprised you didn't hear my screams, because it was just a long time personal goal of mine. I'm so excited. And plus, frankly, it makes you look good to the publisher. You know, it's a nice thing. You know, oh, somebody's buying her book, and there you go.
Well, a lot of authors who are very talented get associated with one particular region, like you're writing about. It's a lot of so-called Southern humor. And then that might be your only audience. And and it's wonderful to expand beyond that.
It is. It is. I had been a bestseller, which is they call a national bestseller, and if you've gotten a bestseller on the list in more than one region of the country, you become a national bestseller. So it's all semantics. But the New York Times list, that was the real deal. But I had been pretty obnoxious about it. Ben has even teased me about it. You know, I now introduce myself that way.
Well, I think you should. I mean, you worked for that. I think it's important to remind people.
I read a lot of fart jokes for that title, you know?
Absolutely.
Come on. It's not easy being me.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Celia Rivenbark about her latest book, You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl, Observations on Life from the Shallow End of the Pool. Celia will be our guest here Monday evening at 7 o'clock for Prologue, and Ben Steelman will be here teasing her about being a New York Times best-selling author. Celia, are you traveling a lot now for book signings and readings?
I did quite a bit when it came out in August, and I probably finished that up in December. So mostly through the Southeast. They don't send me very far. I think the farthest I've gotten is Dallas and maybe up as far as Northern Virginia and down to Florida. That's kind of my little, you know, that's where I go.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to be on the road. It's such a different experience. You know, there's room service and I'm so excited. There's a TV inside the bathroom mirror. I'm a big redneck. So that's, you know, I had the room service delivered to the bathroom so I could enjoy that. You know,
that's great.
Oh, it's just stuff. You know, it's very... I go all clamp it when I go on the road.
But you have to watch out for the mini bars, right?
You do, yes. You do have to be careful about that.
Yeah, I mean, because you probably have a budget and they don't want you eating, was that $9 peanut M&Ms?
A certain amount of tolerance for that, but not much.
Well, now that you're famous, are you very demanding? I mean, do you have an entourage?
I do not have an entourage. I do have one consistent wino in Atlanta, and I have a very nice gay gentleman in Charlotte, and that is pretty much it for my entourage
that
I can truly depend on.
You don't have a personal stylist that travels with
no.
you?
Isn't that sad?
Oh,
it's so sad.
Yeah,
one day.
Look into that.
I think you got to hit number one on the New York Times list in order to get those things.
Well, there's the next goal.
There you go.
There you go. Do you plan to become snobby soon and forget about the little people who
Absolutely,
made you famous?
Absolutely, I do, yes. Mm-hmm. I do not care about the very poor, Jamila.
I think
a presidential candidate said that recently, yes.
Something like that, yeah. And if
no,
they had a job,
no.
you would fire them, right?
Right, exactly. I love to fire people. No, I think I'll just be me.
There you go.
Warts and all.
This book is number, what, six or seven?
This is the sixth one.
I am working on
another one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about your new book, which is coming out next spring.
With Any Luck at All, it'll come out next spring. And this is the first book I've ever done that's a single subject. You know, it's usually a collection of essays, humorous essays. This will be one subject, and the subject is etiquette. And so the book is titled, That's Not a Salad Fork, You Stupid...
Whoa!
Too much?
No, you can't. I know where you're going with that. You can't say the B word on the radio. You can do it in your book, even put it in the title, but
okay.
Fair enough. That's not a salad fork, you stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That one, yes, which I think is a fun title.
You said something about Emily Post-it notes,
yes,
too.
Yes, Emily Post-it notes. Well, the thing is, the book is legitimate etiquette, but told from a very laid-back perspective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of etiquette books on the market. There really are. But mine will be, I hope, different and I hope very, very funny. I'm having a blast writing it. I can't remember when I've had this much fun writing something.
You know, a little piece of etiquette that just came to my attention a few years ago when my friend Deb Bowen put out a book about grieving and helping people through grief.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little story in there about someone who was new to this area, new to this region, and someone died that they knew, and they wanted to bring something to the house afterwards,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, pretty much a tradition everywhere. But, you know, he was a single guy, and he bought a cake at Harris Teeter. And he bought a cake, and he brought it. And that was really looked down upon because it wasn't homemade.
Oh, no, you simply cannot take a store-bought cake to the house.
Isn't that something? Now, I wouldn't have known that. And I would have probably brought, you know, I might have gone up a notch to Apple Annie's, but still, I might have brought, oh.
Mm-mm. You have got to crack those eggs your own self.
Oh, my gosh.
You do, Jamila.
Well, could I like buy a cake and then disguise it and pretend it was my own?
They will know.
They will know.
I'm telling you, they will know. And your soul will know.
Oh, my soul will know. My black little soul that has brought store-bought cakes to people's homes. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, gosh. Okay, Celia. Is there any other maybe one piece of etiquette advice that I will need before you leave the studio today?
I'm just trying to recover from the fact that you took a store-bought cake. So I'm going to have to think on that.
I haven't done it a lot. Okay.
Oh,
All right. Celia Reibenbach's latest book, You Don't Sweat Much for a Fat Girl, will be our feature for Prologue on Monday night. Celia, I believe there'll be books available for sale.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be happy to autograph
Tickle
them.
Tickle to death.
As Celia Reibenbach, New York Times
best. That is true. That's how I sign it, yes.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
I'm so glad you keep coming up with things to write about.
Me too.
it just seems like there's an unending deep well of craziness and silliness.
Well, as long as there are Kardashians in this world, we will all be fine.
There you go. Thank you, Celia.
Thank you.
This is WHQR.